Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football playoff fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Show, featuring, as usual, Matt Wilhelm, former national championship. No, you're always going to be a national championship linebacker, but former national championship linebacker with the Ohio State University, Super Bowl winner with Green Bay. Matt, welcome once again to the Tim May Show. We're not going to dilly-dally, agree?
It is. It's great to be with you, Tim, as always. It's been awesome this season to be able to do this each and every week. I think it keeps me dialed in and plugged into everything Ohio State, which is fantastic. And I think, allows us to also get a little critical, poke the bear, here and there when it's not good enough. And I think that we do have that opportunity coming up against the University of Tennessee, which is going to be an immense challenge. But it's exciting to have a game week, this soon after our season essentially being over.
Exactly. I mean, the point is, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what happened up until now, Ohio State is hosting Tennessee for the first time ever in a college football playoff game in Ohio Stadium. It's going to be temperature in the low 20s, maybe teens now. Everything keeps sliding down the scale instead of up, Matt. We're going to get to that in a minute. By the way, I've got a brief conversation also with Paul Feinbaum, whatever you want to call him for ESPN. I think he's entertaining no matter what he does. He sets some people off. But ironically, he's a Tennessee grad. So get his thoughts a little bit on this game. Whose game is it more, a referendum for, Ohio State or Tennessee, which last won a national championship in 1998, the first year of the BCS. And then also a conversation with G. Scott, the senior, the father of G. Scott Jr., tight end in Ohio State. We haven't talked to him since before the season started, but just wanted to get his take on, the gauntlet maybe this team is facing. It could be one and done. It could be a four-game run to a national championship. You don't know yet. And definitely one and done if you don't win. So let's get back to that a little bit, Matt. I mean, you're kind of facing your mortality as a football team, a 2024 football team, which will never be never play again if they lose this game. I mean, it'll Correct. Be a different iteration next year and stuff. So I don't know. What's the urgency factor, you think, for Ohio State right now?
I think it's extremely high. And I love the fact that you would use the word urgency factor, not like a panic meter, right? Because the panic it's not a time to panic. Okay. So there's an immense amount of urgency. And I know that new athletic director, Mr. Bjork has come out and kind of validated that Ryan Day is not going anywhere. So that checks a big box for the leader of this program. And it's not a linchpin on success or lack of success, in the college football playoff, that he is in many cases, he will be back. But I do think that this program and the narrative associated with this football team, and I'll say more so than anything, and I'm going to make them kind of guilty in this case, is these seniors, because of the lack of substance on their resume, if I put that nicely.
There you go.
Of the games that really matter, right? And that's 0-4 against Michigan. That's not making an appearance in Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship game in 2022, backing their way into a college football playoff and coming up short against Georgia on New Year's Eve is the claim to fame. But to me, like, those are all losses. That's all losing. That's all not success. And I know that, the one thing that I can say, honestly, hearing from Ryan Day in the last couple of days is, please don't attach a 10-win season and Ohio State football of being success in the same sentence. While .. we talk about the games that you didn't win, that's the one thing that I don't want to become that program, because there are programs out there, and I know this because my son's being recruited by some of these programs that, showcase going to a bowl game, that's winning six football games, that showcase an 8-win season and finishing third in the conference, or first 10-win season in the last 5 years, and going to a potential January 1 bowl game. That's great. That's fantastic. That's them. that's not the standard that is Ohio State football.
Yeah.
And so I think the urgency is high. I know we talked about it last week, that like it is a all hands on deck, no stone left unturned. Like you have extra time to prepare because we were not playing in the Big Ten championship game. It's and you knew your opponent soon thereafter. It's like dive in to fixing yourself and then dive into and which I talked about as well, fixing yourself, you know, last week, getting that combination figured out so that when you turn the page to Tennessee and you start diving into who they are, what they do, what they like to do, what we need to stop, what we need to accentuate or take advantage of, that it's like it is all out there.
Yeah.
And there's no playing it safe anymore, because playing it safe will have you sitting at home where you and I will be watching the remainder of the college football playoff games.
Yeah, under our electric heated throw pillow or throw blankie, with a little cocoa or something in the cocoa. You're exactly right. Hey, real quick, let's get my quick conversation with Paul Feinbaum. Where we talked about a little bit of this, who's this game more important for, Ohio State or Tennessee? He's a Tennessee graduate, and we all know he has an opinion on almost anything. That's what I
Of
have
course.
always liked about Paul Feinbaum. No matter whether you agree with him or not, you're going to hear his opinion. So, without further ado, let's get to my short little conversation with Paul Feinbaum. Oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, look who's joined me, Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum, one of the great commentators out there. I'm gonna make you a commentator, Paul. Put you up there in the Walter Cronkite era. What do you think?
Did I walk into the Ryan Day fan club here? Where am I? I don't know where I
No,
am.
absolutely not. You walked into the can Chip Kelly get this offense? Can Chip Kelly get this Ohio State running offense going? Club. There's a lot of questions about that, but I just wanted to ask you. You're a graduate of Tennessee. Does this add a little bit more spice to Ohio State, Tennessee for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think these are two teams that don't play a lot. And I mean, they're really in similar schools in the sense that, football is king and they have massive stadiums and massive fan bases. And even though I think a lot of people think they're a long way off, they're really not. Tennessee to Columbus is a pretty short hike. So I think it's a really cool matchup. It's obviously the best of a four game swing that's not all that impressive for the first round.
Is this a referendum game more for Tennessee or Ohio State? How would you describe it? Maybe it's for both. I mean, it's been a long time since Tennessee has sniffed national championship hopes. Ohio State, of course, has sniffed it a lot, but go ahead. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's obviously more important for Ohio State because of the circumstances that you've been obsessing over for 3 weeks now. For Tennessee, getting in the playoffs was a big deal. This is a program that has been trying to move into the upper echelon of the SEC and has done a really good job of being on the cut line, so to speak. But I don't think Tennessee fans are looking at this season as a disaster if they can't win this game.
I was going to say, as you look at this Tennessee team, what does Ohio State have to fear in terms of offensively, defensively? It's just in a nutshell. What impresses you about Tennessee and gives it a solid chance in this game?
Well, I think it starts with the defensive front from Tennessee. I mean, James Pierce is well known around the country. I mean, I would think Tennessee's defensive line is elite. I mean, they're overall their defense has kept them alive
Yeah.
throughout the season. When you flip it over, Dylan Sampson is the workhorse of Tennessee. He's probably the best running back in the SEC, but that's really where it ends. Tennessee's offense for our Josh Heupel team has been fairly disappointing.
Hey, Paul, are you jumping ahead? Are you excited about watching these first four games of this expanded playoff? You and I'm older than you, but never thought I'd see something like this in my lifetime, to be honest with you, looking back about 40 years ago. But has it brought the excitement, you think, to college football? I guess we got to wait to find out, right?
Yeah, I can't say yes automatically. I mean, we are at the front part of the week now, and I mean, this listen, what's going on right now? Christmas, and you and I know that if you were a college football team, you did not want to play on the Saturday before Christmas. I mean, that was the nomad's land of the. I mean, if you got that bowl game, I mean, your coach probably got fired. So I don't know. I mean, Friday night, Saturday night. I mean, I think the Saturday night game is a little more attractive. I still can't wrap my arms around this Friday night game, and the two Saturday games, Tim, they're opposite NFL games,
Yeah.
and they're opposite really more than anything, Christmas shopping and travel. I mean, this is by the time we get to midweek, I mean, most people are gone for the holidays.
As you and I sit and record this, the forecast for Saturday night in Ohio Stadium is supposed to be something maybe in the mid-20s and dropping, maybe even lower than that. Notre Dame, the games at Notre Dame, obviously, Indiana at Notre Dame, and SMU at Penn State. You know, people can say you want to see these Southern teams or a Southern team like Tennessee, but it's really in Knoxville. I've been there many times, not really deep South, but wanted to see these games. Do you think people really wanted to see these kind of games in this kind of weather?
No, and I know that's kind of been one of the narratives. I mean, I think people love to watch snow games, but I mean, you want to watch a game where the teams can function. I spent 4 years in Knoxville, Tennessee. There were plenty of December, January, February nights when it was 20 degrees. I mean, Tennessee, for those who don't know, Knoxville is at the foot of the Smoky Mountains. I mean, other than Lexington and probably Columbia, Missouri, it would be the coldest place in the SEC, as opposed to Austin, where I'll be Friday and Saturday, where I'm already disappointed that the game time temperature is going to be 67 degrees,
Oh, that's too
because
bad.
I was there 3 weeks ago and it was 80. So I don't think that's a big factor. I mean, I think if you had maybe Florida going up there or Miami, which we probably have to wait the rest of our lifetimes for Miami to make it to this,
Yeah.
but I just don't think 23 degrees is going to be that big of a deal for someone, for a player that lives in Knoxville.
All right, last thing, Paul. Midsummer, you were pretty sold on this Ohio State football team, if I remember correctly, on your show, et cetera. Has Ohio State disappointed you? And I don't know, is this how what would you call this last chance romance kind of situation with this 2024 Ohio State football team?
Yeah, I mean, it feels a little bit like 2 years ago when the Georgia game was the salvation, and it turned out to be almost the salvation.
Yeah.
I said 3 weeks. I said on the Monday of the Michigan game, I thought this was the most talented team in the country, and then I sat there watching that game like you did, going, "Oh my goodness." I still think Ohio State is talented. I mean, being on the SportsCenter every day or so, I think I've been asked the Ryan Day question
Yeah.
a million times. I don't really know what's going to happen if Ohio State loses the game. I think it's going to make for an ugly situation. But whether he'll be fired or not is way beyond my thought process. My guess is no. But I think Ohio State is still capable of getting through this game. I mean, I frankly think they likely will. Can they beat Oregon? Yeah. I mean, I think they can beat Oregon. So I mean, if we're sitting there a month from now, and Ohio State's playing somebody for the national championship, I'm not going to be that surprised.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Finebaum, thanks once again, Paul, for joining the Tim May Show.
Tim, it's a pleasure. What do I get paid for this, or is this
The check is already in the mail.
Okay, always great, Tim.
Snail mail. Man, I always appreciate Paul Finebaum, one of the more respected, or let's put it this way, listen to people out there in major college football in current day. And we had some he had some interesting takes on this extended season. How's it really gonna go? We're in really, Matt Wilhelm, we're in no man's land to a certain extent. No
We
one's
are.
been here before. No one's ever seen a college football playoff game played in the North. There are going to be three of them in a span of what 24 hours. I mean, you're going to
Yes.
have Notre Dame hosting Indiana. That's not really, I guess it Indiana is far south of Notre Dame, but not exactly a team of the South. But you're going to have SMU traveling all the way to Penn State. Temperatures
Yes.
in the 20s, maybe on Saturday at noon, and then Ohio State hosting Tennessee. Temperatures in the low 20s, maybe even the high teens by the time the game is over. Tennessee, not exactly a far south team or heart of the South team, but still, you know, this is what everybody has wanted to see, supposedly. Not myself, but I don't know about you, but what is for both for both teams, for example, Ohio State and Tennessee, what will be the challenge of playing in that frigid a temperature? And this is a guy, ladies and gentlemen, who played in Green Bay for a season.
Frozen tundra.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. What is the challenge for
It'll
both
be
teams
tough.
on
It'll be
Saturday
tough. So
night?
the challenge will be for these young men, coming north, not just in our game, but the other games that you talked about, is they're going to want to get out. I'm sure, or actually, the coach Heupel will probably want to get them in town and get them out for a walkthrough at Ohio Stadium to kind of get a lay of the land. That would probably, happen on a Friday. Or even maybe even earlier on the day on Saturday, since it is, an 8 p.m. kick, where they can get access, between 10 and noon, via their bus from a hotel after meetings to go just walk around, again, locker room layout, all those types of things. But then when he goes back to like starting a game, you have to think, and I just remember, I think it was the like Miami Dolphins playing maybe Green Bay a few weeks ago. They traveled with like 25,000 pounds of winter gear. Right, to prepare for how cold it was going to be. And it was cold, but it was snowy as well. So, but that said, Tennessee's going to have all these other extra things that they've never been used to doing, which is going to get them break up a little bit of their like their game flow. But I think that the players should or will likely go out for that like that pre-game where they're out in kind of like their workout gear, running around, catching the ball. They'll have their shiesties on, over their heads, catching footballs. You'll probably see some of the big guys come out with like no shirts, and only shorts to just immediately turn, candy apple red like my shirt is. And just calibrate. But then more so, and I think that so that my long story short is they're going to do some things new to kind of get into a flow. It's going to be tough because they've never done this before. But I think the challenge is eventually from we might think as fans that it's going to be physical how cold it is, but like once you get playing and the competitive juices get flowing and the you're in your game plan and you have your assignment, like you're not thinking about how cold it is until you're on the sideline. But that said, it's like there's a mental barrier for these guys. I think where the advantage for us hosting a home game in Columbus, we're accustomed to this cold weather. I think Ryan Day's had them out a couple of days, to get some work in outside. We played the Michigan game, in a fairly cold, little like blustery wind,
Yeah, and how did that go?
crosswind.
And how did that go for you?
That's what I'm. That's my whole point is like so like that's a learning lesson, for hopefully for Ohio State at the Horseshoe in that situation, and we've kind of already overcome that mental hurdle, and Tennessee has to overcome that hurdle as the game gets started. So my hopes is that Coach Day and Coach Kelly as well as Coach Knowles, create a plan to start fast. To while they're figuring things out, we've already figured that out and we're rolling. Based on the game plan in that current environment.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to talk about what you would like to see from Ohio State on Saturday night in the frozen tundra, frozen artificial tundra of Ohio Stadium. But first, I want to get to this conversation with G. Scott Sr. I've had him on many times before on the Tim May Show, and he kind of puts things in perspective from a parent, fan, and media personality out in Seattle. Just from all those kind of perspectives of what this game can mean to these players, including his son, a senior, final player, final game probably in Ohio Stadium for G. Scott Jr., tight end, who had to step into the breach big time in the middle of this season. But then also give us some perspective on like my friend Matt Wilhelm did on what this game really means to these players who right now really have nothing to show. From a trinket standpoint, for their time at Ohio State. So, without further ado, let's get to my conversation with G. Scott Sr. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. It's always a pleasure, and it's been a while. You got to take everything. You can't, you got to take your time in life, man. Don't just absorb it all the time. And G. Scott Sr. rejoining the Tim May Show for the first time since preseason. G. Scott Sr., father of G. Scott Jr. on the Ohio State football team, tight end extraordinaire, G. Scott Sr. I told you we were going to check in, man, as soon as this season kind of came to a head. I don't think it
Right.
comes to more of a head than the possibility of one WON or done, DONE, one are done. And that's what this team, that's what your son's facing as we speak right now, headed toward Saturday's matchup with Tennessee in frigid Ohio Stadium. But number one, how you doing, G. Scott Sr.?
Doing great, man. Tim May, is always good to hang out with you, brother. By the way, Tim May, you're looking younger, man. I don't know if your followers and listeners have been paying attention, but you look younger, man. You look younger.
Yeah, you've read that exactly the way I wrote it. I mean, I can't believe that, but you did. You hit the exact mark. By the way, I can smell some ribeyes smoking in the background back there. Am I right?
Hey, you know me, man, every night. So, you know, I do the carnivore diet, right?
Yeah.
So I'm strictly protein in what I eat. So tonight I got some dry aged ribeyes that are right now on the smoker. They're on my Traeger out there. I'll smoke those things for about an hour at 200 degrees. I'll pull them off there for a sec and then get to searing them, take them off at 130, and then let them get happy for about 15, 20 minutes. And then it's showtime. So you got me. That's what I'm doing right now.
What does a carnivore have for sides? Is it poached eggs? I mean, what do you have for sides instead of broccoli or something?
I don't have anything for sides.
No, right.
Sometimes if I want some sides, where I might make a different, some of my different butters, right, that I'll put on there and everything. But nah, man, I don't have some sides. I drink so I juice now, right? So for my vegetables and everything, so I have that throughout the day. So all of my juicy, my cucumbers and broccoli. Look, man, I'm trying to eat better, getting away from processed foods and all the other stuff. So carnivore and my juice, and I'm good, brother. I don't want to be boring everybody with my damn.
No, I know, but I just want. But since you said that, I just wish I wasn't 70 so I could try that carnivore diet. I don't want it to be my dead end. You know what I mean? But hey, by the way, the juice, the grape juice, is it dry aged grape juice?
No, man, the juice in it's, you know, it's cucumber, kale.
Yeah, I know.
Carrots, and all it's juice, like the juice it out of those vegetables.
I know. I'm just messing with you. You know that. Real quick. Sure. I said I was going to check in with you. So before the season, huge expectations for this team. As you and I talked about, they weren't unfounded. They were legit. This team is sitting with two losses. Didn't get to play for the Big Ten Championship. Lost fourth straight time to its arch rival. Yeah. Lost that one-point game, disappointing game, disappointing loss at Oregon when wow, what a game, right? You weren't a rooting interest. What a game. Now they're sitting here with third life, really, right?
Yeah.
Playing for having a chance to go to the college football playoff championship game, but it's one step at a time. Where is your satisfaction level with this season to date as a parent who has endured a lot of things, you know, being a parent of a college football player? But where's your satisfaction level? And do you sense this team still has the wherewithal to grab the brass ring?
Yeah, first of all, my satisfaction level is I'm grateful, right? And I am very understanding that all of us view these games in a different way. So coach, player, media, fan, parent, you know what I mean? Like, so I want to make sure I do that. And I'll respect everyone else. Like, I might not view things the way you view things, and you might not view things the way I view things. So, for an example, Sunday Night Football happened last night, right?
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks were playing. Did you lose sleep that the Seahawks lost?
No.
Probably not, right? So you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, look, these Buckeyes have lost two games by a total of 4 points.
Yeah.
There was a heartbreaker out in Oregon, or Eugene, Oregon. That was a quadruple heartbreaker against the team up north, losing by 3 points.
Good way of putting it.
It tells you that not only is football a game of inches, life is a game of inches. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as far as the satisfaction, I'm grateful that I'm still here to watch my son play, right?
Yeah.
I'm grateful that the Buckeyes have an opportunity to go take care of business. They are one of 12 teams that are in the college football playoffs that are competing to win a national championship. Now, do I think they're going to win it? Yes. I don't wake up every day thinking losing.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way. Yes, I think they're going to win. Yes, the first thing they need to do is win on Saturday. Why do I think they're going to win? I think they're going to win because the same way that people are different. What I mean by that is I hate to get too deep into the weeds, but Tim May, when you were in high school and you had a paper that was due a month out, your sense of urgency might not have been where it was as opposed to when it's Sunday night and the paper is due on Monday.
Yeah.
And you are doing everything like you're on fire.
Yeah.
The Buckeyes right now are on fire, right?
Yeah.
There is no tomorrow. That was in Rocky. Anyway.
I got you.
But there is no tomorrow.
No.
There is no save it for this or maybe we can work it and maybe use that play down the road. So I'll bring it all together. This Buckeye team right now, I believe that they have the sense of urgency that it takes. I don't think anybody is questioning the talent, right?
Right.
I think right now is they need to get it done. And I think they get it done because the sense of urgency is there. There is no tomorrow. Matter of fact, I'm going to watch that movie tonight. There is no tomorrow for the Buckeyes. It either you do it this time or not at all.
Yeah. You know, for a parent watching it, there's also that sense too, right? I mean, you and I talked about before we started here tonight, there's no gold pants for the fourth-year players. There's no Big Ten championship ring for the fourth-year players. There's no national championship ring for the fourth-year players yet. You want some kind of trinket, right? You want to see your kid walk away with something. By the way, when did G show up? I'm trying to remember.
20.
Yeah, 20. So he's got some trinkets. Yeah, he's got a Big Ten championship ring. But for the other parents, let's say the fourth-year parents, I mean, you want to see something for your kid to put on his shelf, right? I mean, is that the best way of putting it?
Yeah. A lot of us want so many things. Would I have wanted some gold pants? Yes. Do I want the Buckeyes to win the national championship? Yes. Did I want them to go undefeated? There's a lot of things that I want.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes it's just not in the cards. Now, does it suck? I want everybody to know, I don't want anybody to be thinking that I'm just like, oh, I'm just super positive. Look, yeah, man, I'm human too, right? You think it don't hurt? Yes, it hurts, right? Yeah. However, the whole saying in life is not if you get knocked out, it's how you get back up. And the Buckeyes have an opportunity to do that. National championship? Do I want that as a parent? Yes. 1,000,000%. Yes.
Yeah.
But in order to get there, obviously Tennessee is first. I would like for the Buckeyes to beat Tennessee, go out there and play their best football.
Take care of business.
Yeah.
I'm not sure because you have all kinds of obligations. Are you going to be able to make it to Columbus?
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, yeah. I'll get there on Thursday night and, be around on Friday, be around there and take it all in. I hear it's going to be a little bit cold, a little chilly on Saturday. So I guess you got to bundle up a little bit. But look, man, I gotta tell you, though, even talking to you right now, this is basically it, right? My son, he has no more years of eligibility. And, being a Buckeye, watching my son and his experience and
journey,
dropped him off as a boy, you know, and now he is a grown man. Did I think that his college career would look like it did? No. However, I think that his college career set him up for a better life than I could have asked for.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think a lot of parents, as a parent, I'll tell you, sure, I thought you get there, you do 3 years, three and out, and you go to the league, NFL draft, and all those things. It didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
But along the way, there were some things that happened with Junior that I couldn't be more proud of. In an era of transfer portal, in an era of, oh, I'm not getting the playing time, let me go, all those things. In the era of people will say something to you, oh, you're no good, and you're this, and you're that, and all those things. It has made him more resilient than I could have ever asked for. And yeah. So for that, I'm grateful.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, if he was a bird, you'd see all the new feathers on him. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of crazy, isn't it, G? I mean,
yes.
There's more to it, like you said, than winning and losing. That doesn't excuse losing when you could have won. You know what I mean? But that's just the end result of the whole process, you know? And I think some people lose sight of that. I wanted to ask you this. You're a straight-up guy. You give straight-up answers. Where do you stand on the side of, like, for example, Ryan Day at this point? Now, you heard the hue and cry, especially after a fourth straight loss to Michigan. It was almost at times deafening hearing stuff about maybe they should move on to somebody else. And, you know, you and I have talked many times. I very much like Ryan Day for a lot of reasons. And then the new athletic director, Ross Bjork, stepped up and basically didn't just give him a pat on the back or vote of confidence, pretty much said he's going to be the coach in 2025. I'm just wondering, from your vantage point as a parent, what has been the best thing your son has gotten, not necessarily from Ryan Day, but from being around this coaching staff or being around Ohio State football for 5 years? What is the best thing he's come away with? You already talked about it to a certain extent, but it's so much more than football, right?
It's way more than football. And when G. Scott Jr. was struggling, and he had a very hard time, right? Yeah. There's a bunch of unknown stories during that time that my son had to go through, right?
Yeah.
So when people ask me about Ryan Day, well, what do you think? I think that Ryan Day is a person that didn't give up on my son. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like wow. That right there, wow. That's it for me.
Yeah.
As a father, right? So yeah. I don't know if people want me to take off my dad hat, right, and put on my football glasses and all those things. Sure, I can do that for you. I can tell you that I think the Buckeyes should have beat the team up north this year. I think the Buckeyes probably should have went for it on fourth down against Georgia. I can sit here and do exactly what everybody else does as a fan. You should have done that. You should have done that. But when I think about Ryan Day, I think about the Ryan Day that could have very easily given up on my son, right, in 2021, because there's so many coaches out there that would have given up on my son. And because he didn't give up on my son is here today, right, better than ever. So for that with Ryan Day, I'll forever be grateful for him as a man, like that part, Tim May. And I know this isn't good for your listeners, right? I know that's probably what not people want to hear. They're probably upset with Ryan Day. Sure. That's fine. Look, Ryan Day is the head coach of the Buckeyes. He can take it. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
But for Ryan Day, the man, I'll be forever grateful.
Wow. Last thing, G.
Yeah.
You know as much about football. You know more about football than I do, I think. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke here. I mean, you're quite the omniscient, omnipresent omnipotent kind of dude who kind of has his a finger in a lot of things. You know what I mean? But just in a nutshell, you as a fan, as a parent, as a guy that knows football,
Yeah.
just give me a 1 minute synopsis of what this game on Saturday night in Ohio Stadium, the first college football playoff game ever played at night in Ohio Stadium, number two, one of three games being played up north, and it's going to be frigid on Friday night at Notre Dame and then Saturday at Penn State and Saturday night at Ohio Stadium. But what do you think this game will come down to besides scoring more points than Tennessee? What do you think this game will come down to in your humble opinion?
Who's the toughest in the cold? Right? I mean, it's
Yeah.
like, one thing about football, and I always, I've been around the pro game for 21 years now. And I've seen the evolution of the game, right? And different offenses and different corners, different receivers. Like 1 minute you want Calvin Johnson, you want the big 6'3", 6'4", wide receiver, the
Yeah.
Randy Moss, prayers for Randy Moss. You want those receivers. And then all of a sudden you get these little fast receivers,
Smurfs.
Tyreek Hills. All football is changing all the time. Remember the fullback used to be there?
Yeah.
Have you noticed the fullback is starting to come back?
Yes.
At the end of the day, football is a very simple sport.
Yes.
And
What goes around comes around. Yeah.
it comes down to this. Run the ball, stop the run,
Yeah.
right? On Saturday night, at the shoe, the toughest team in the cold wins. Period. This is football. It ain't chess. It ain't tennis. The toughest team wins. Whoever is the toughest on Saturday night wins the damn game. So I don't know if you needed a minute. I could have gave it to you in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I tried to stretch it out for you a
I
little
like
bit,
that. I
but
like the way you did that.
I wanted to get to the point. The toughest team wins. Run the ball, stop the run.
Yeah.
Period, point blank.
But man, if they don't cover Jeremiah Smith, throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Egbuka or Carnell Tate, bless his heart, or Brandon Ennis. Brandon Ennis scored a touchdown against Penn State. Who had that on their card, right? I mean, I think my opinion is leave it all on the table. But
And that's what's going to happen.
yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable G. Scott Sr. Oh man, I can smell those ribeyes cooking, man, or smoking. Big difference between cooking and smoking. Agreed?
Oh, big difference. Big
Yeah.
difference. Hey,
Hey,
Tim,
well, yeah.
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I wanted to ask you one last thing.
Oh.
You weren't around in 2014, but Ohio State had to play two games. Had to play in the Big Ten championship game and in two bowl games. And Ohio State was the first school to step out there and go, you know what? This is not fair for our parents, for the families to have to pay for an extra, everybody can save up a little bit in some form or fashion for one bowl trip, but to make two is ridiculous. And Ohio State and Gene Smith and Urban Meyer were the ones that got that rule put in where the schools could pay for the families to get to that second game, which was the national championship game. Now you got four of these things.
Yeah.
How have you been? How have they communicated with you on how, what they will pick up for you families? Because to me, it's like times four. Am I accurate about that?
It's the thing. I don't know the number right offhand, but they do help you, right, with
Yeah.
the stipends to be able to the travel voucher to be able to go to these games. So give you X amount of money and everything. So yeah, that's been good.
And is that not putting words in your mouth? We're now in the NIL era, but that is that the least they can do? I mean, you understand what I'm saying, from the standpoint of you get to see your son play. If they play four straight games of this magnitude, holy smokes, right?
But I think that, like you said, them Urban Meyer and Gene Smith and those guys doing that back in 2014, very grateful for that. And the Buckeyes and the rest of the teams in the college football playoff, that gets honored, right?
Yeah.
So you get the stipend and everything like that, and kind of helps go towards your travel and your hotel and all that kind of stuff. So, it's a blessing. It definitely helps.
I just look at last minute airline travel. There's nothing more expensive except maybe your hotel room. But anyway, hey, last question, and we're out of here. I told you I wasn't going to take too much of your time.
Yeah.
Your prediction, your forecast, your not forecast for the weather, your prediction for Saturday night is what?
I mean, Buckeyes, right? Like, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah.
Right. I think the Buckeyes are the best team in the country. Right.
I was looking for more of a score.
Score, man. I don't get into score.
Cause you never know. Right.
You just never know. I'm not predicting that. I think the Buckeyes are going to win. I think that the Tennessee Volunteers, I think that they are a great team. Right. I think it's going to be two great teams that's out there. And it's going to come out down to who is the toughest team. So you can keep those words. Whoever the toughest team is on Saturday night wins the game.
Hey, after taking that detour about expenses for parents and family, I wanted to get back to you closing off with that great line. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Chief Scott Sr., man, it's always a pleasure. You know that.
There is no tomorrow.
Yeah, Matt, there's a lot on the line, not only for the players, but for the players' parents. You know, they came to Ohio State. They endorsed their players coming to Ohio State, and one of the reasons was, you know, they're going to get to play in the big time, man, and go for national championships and Big Ten championships and stuff. And so this is really an interesting moment, even for the parents, right? You're a parent of a son who came close to a state championship this year, you know, starting for Lakewood St. Ed's, and what was on it. He was on a state championship team last year, right?
Was. Yes.
So he's got a little bit of that going for him. So, but I don't know. For these parents, it, you know, sit through thick and thin, you know, the cold, the hot, the rain, the snow maybe. What does it mean for them?
It means a lot, truthfully. And parents of all the Division I athletes, they should all be so proud, you know, to accomplish something like that. It's such a blessing. And then to play at a school like Ohio State, or, you know, be honored and be talented enough to pick Ohio State.
Yeah.
And there are expectations from both sides on picking a school like Ohio State. One, winning a lot, you know, competing for a national championship. And again, it's no different from why I went to Ohio State. I wanted to play for my state school. That was a personal thing, being an Ohio kid. But it's like, I wanted to compete for the Big Ten championship. I wanted to win a national championship. I wanted to go to the NFL, you know, because of the pipeline, even then through the mid 90s and late 90s of what they were accomplishing, winning the Big Ten, almost competing for a national championship and putting a boatload of guys in the National Football League. Well, that hasn't changed. Why? Because we're Ohio State. And that's why we get the best of the best from all around the country to commit to us over staying home. But that said, I'm a humble dude, and I don't tell anybody who I am or what I did or whatever, unless you figure out like who I am and what I did. I'll be the last one to tell you. But my dad, when he was alive, would be the first one to tell you who I was and where I'm from and what I did and what I accomplished. Right.
Yeah.
And again, if I was doing this podcast with you, you know, without playing in the National Football League, it's like, oh, playing in the National Football League. Great. You know, Super Bowl winner, bang, right?
Yeah.
Played at Ohio State. Oh, immense respect for that. That's fantastic. You know, all Big Ten, all American, national champion. It just has a different ring to it, right?
Yeah.
And when your dad, you know, whether he's sitting at a bar or checking out at Target, and, you know, and he's wearing his Ohio State gear, and, you know, or my mom's wearing her gold pants around her neck or something like that, and people ask a question, they light up like a gosh darn Christmas tree to tell you everything about how great their son is and all his accomplishments.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
oh, this leather jacket, I got this from my son.
Yeah, right. And but I meant for some of these parents, like, there's this void of course, be proud. To, you know, 28 game starter, you know, leading tight end receiver in receiving yards, whatever you want to do, rattle it off, frame it how you want to frame it.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better than like standing at the top and looking down on everybody else because of your accomplishments. Yeah. And I, in my career at Ohio State, was able to do that. And these guys don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least not yet. And I think that's kind of like what's at stake, you know? And it's like, or even, gosh, it's like even going back to 22, man, we gave the national champion Georgia Bulldogs a run for their money, and you know, and like, and we had them, and yeah. we lost. It's like, that's a story to tell, right? What's the story to tell? Some regular season football games, you know?
Yeah.
Crapping down your leg in the Cotton Bowl last year. That's not, you don't have pride for that. You know, yeah. I went to a bowl game for 4 years. Perfect. What's your record? You know, 1-3, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
What? Like, come on.
Yeah. I just thought when you said that, yeah, I was thinking yada, yada, yada. And come on, you left out the good part. And then Elaine said, I mentioned the bisque. Remember? From yeah. Seinfeld.
Yes.
Yeah, I mentioned the Rose Bowl. Okay, then I'm putting you on the beam here. You know, hopefully, if that's the correct term, I'm hopeful we're going to do at least 3 or 4 more shows. You understand what I'm saying?
I would hope so too, right?
Because this is a gauntlet, man. There's no, well, no. Once you step into this gauntlet, it's not going to be nonstop, but it's going to feel like it. I think for the rosters of these football teams, the coaches and the players, we're talking about 4 wins to a national championship. So to get that first one, Matt, what do you want to see Ohio State do that it didn't do against Michigan? I mean, that's the best way of putting it, or that it didn't do against number one Oregon at Oregon, losing by 1 point there, but you still got beat. What do you want to see Ohio State do besides make a couple of field goals maybe, and we'd be sitting here maybe waiting to talk a week and a half from now. Go ahead now.
I know. Points are points. So here's what I think. I want us to play to our strengths is the one thing that I would like to see. And I would also, coming out of that Michigan game, play to our strengths and take advantage of identified weaknesses in Tennessee. Whatever that happens to be, whether it's a specific player, whether it's a specific layer in the defense, or you know, or offensive protection, or the fact that you know you can you know monkey with the looks pre-snap for the freshman quarterback, although he played pretty well in the SEC, where I'm sure he's seen a lot.
Yep.
But the construction of a game plan that accentuates who we are and our playmakers, while taking advantage of opportunities where we can see exploited by Tennessee.
Okay, let's drill down. What does Ohio State specifically have going for it offensively that you've seen that they can lean on? You know, we've touched on this many times this year, but go ahead. What does that entail? Air it out, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily that. I would say I think what Ohio State has done in pockets against a good schedule, you know, this year is we have chess pieced our talented players on offense. And what does that mean? That means that Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Ibuka, when they're motioning to get into a matchup or motioning to run a specific route because you know exactly what coverage they're going to be in and Will Howard has the time to deliver that football, we look like a team that can go win a national championship. But when we're very vanilla on offense and we're a little safe, you know, and I'm not trying to say be reckless. I'm saying when we play it safe,
yeah.
we just line up and play football because we think we're Ohio State and everybody's just going to lay down. That's not the case, especially not now, to your point about it being a gauntlet. We're going to see talented football players, well-coached, talented football players each and every week for hopefully beyond this week. And so that's what I would say. And what does that mean? That means also that we may think we can, but we've been proven otherwise because of that last game, that we can just line up and run the football. I don't think that's the case. I just don't. And I know I talked briefly about it. The defensive line is deep and talented at Tennessee. You know, they've got some junkyard dogs down in there that we're going to have to handle. They've got some edge rushers that we're going to have to block, you know, in the passing game. So it's not just going to be impose our will. And it probably won't be like that again for the next 4 weeks if we keep winning. So it's chess piece it. And what does that mean? That means shifts and motions and moving the back and, you know, aligning in empty and, you know, and shifting back into a tight formation. And then you run the football or, you know, get in tight, shift empty, motion a guy back and run a jet sweep. So things that I would hope that we've identified in ourselves coming out of a game where we could not impose our will.
Yeah.
And we've got to go with an adjacent method to success because they're going to be fast. They're going to be physical. They're going to be nasty. They're going to have athletes. It's okay. Well, we feel like we have the best athletes in the country. Let's put them in a position to win. Let's put them in a position to make plays. And I think if we do that enough, we will come out on the right side of this football game and move on.
Yeah. You know, I call that too. I call it the windshield wiper, meaning make things as clear for Will Howard as you can. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
what are they throwing up there? Are they throwing fog on the windshield or is that hail? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the other aspect of the offense that I think I'd like to see, and again, without it being a fault, and it's safely, is I would love to see that if we can't turn around and hand the football off, that we get into some power read, zone reads, you know, jet sweep situations where there's those actions, and then Will Howard keeps it and gets us 6 yards on the ground, you know what I mean? Or 15 on the ground, or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? So yes. I think he is when we were all excited about him coming, it wasn't him really all throwing the ball that much at Kansas State. It was him taking off and using his legs, which is so exciting. Because for Ohio State fans following, you know, it wasn't, until the Georgia game, C.J. Stroud took off and ran the ball and became a new facet of the offense.
Yeah.
When you're not attacking a spot anymore as a defense, you're attacking now a mobile quarterback who wants to deliver the football still with his arm, but can take off and get you a first down.
Yes.
That is a backbreaker for a defense. So I want to see the athleticism of Will Howard also, and that could be dash pass, boot pass, rollouts, working one side of the field, you know, boot the other way, reverse the other way, counterback action in the run game, and kind of build this thing, you know, with our playmakers. And I call them chess pieces because, again, we're not like a bunch of pawns. These are the king, the queens, you know, the knights, like moving them around and strategically getting the football because we're Ohio State and we have the best players.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Matt Wilhelm. He's one of my favorite people. Now you know why. Well, you've been tuning in regularly. We got upwards of 10,000 or more people just watching the YouTube video, much less the other places this is available, Matt. I mean, you know, you're reaching an audience there. What is the last thing you'd want to tell maybe fans who are going to the game? Because here's the thing. I have no problem with people booing on a draw play, you know. That gets zero when you run it right at the best player on the other, maybe the best player on the other team, which was Michigan and Mason Graham several weeks ago. We talked about that ad nauseum. I know I did. I just never got over that. But here's the point. When you were a player, what difference can the crowd make in a game like this? Do you actually notice, are you aware of the crowd? I would think you are on defense because that's when they're screaming the most, right? And yeah, I thought they showed up. I thought Buckeye Nation showed up against Michigan, man. And
I do too.
Came away short. Go ahead.
I think it's from a player standpoint, you notice the crowd early in a game the most. I think you also notice it on the sideline when the other, you know, how quiet it can get when the office is working or how loud it gets when you're out there. But then eventually, like I said, you get in a flow and it's like white noise. That you have to
just part of the thing.
But the one thing I've always took like personal about my play, and again, I'm not gonna rattle off any stats or anything, but like I wanted to make a play to get the crowd to get something crazy about. I wanted to be a playmaker. I didn't want to be a tackler. I wanted to make plays, you know, and that's why it was sacks, TFLs, PBUs, interceptions, you know, and like because you have to understand folks have to understand, when you do that, like on first and 10, you make a TFL for minus 3 yards, it's second and 13. No offensive coordinator wants to call a play on second and 13 because they've got to call a play that's going to get 8 yards to be back in third and four, third and five, right? Which is a manageable situation. And also, by the way, when you make the TFL, the crowd goes crazy. So now you have to execute that second and 13 play with the crowd going nuts, you know, where it's loud and force them to go a silent count. So I think what I'm asking of Buckeye Nation to show up to this football game, it's not, I mean, being loud is like, okay, everybody's going to say be loud and show up. But I think it's like show up like with your football hats on, right? You have to be grateful, you know, to be sitting in that stadium because only 105,000 people are going to be able to be there. Your team has done enough to host a home game. So you should be grateful for that you're still sitting in Ohio Stadium watching a football game.
Yep.
And then I would say like sell out for this team, right? Because if as critical I've been of these seniors and their lack of accomplishments, if they're selling out to win this football game to add legitimacy and change their legacy, Buckeye Nation needs to be, you know, lock and step with them, supporting them selling out in certain situations of being loud. And I think lastly, this is, and this goes back to the 2002 national championship game, and I actually saw this on Twitter before I jumped on, is that supposedly the Tennessee fan base has already charted a course of a goalpost being ripped down, carried out of Ohio Stadium, and entering the Olentangy River. That doesn't give you enough fire in your belly to show up, be loud, be supportive, because it is a direct attack before the game has even been played, that they are so confident that they're putting this plan together to do that in your house. So yeah, for this team, for Buckeye Nation, and the millions of people around the world that are going to be watching this football game, it's like, you know, the old Under Armour phrase, like, protect this house, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and again, all hands on deck. You've done it. You've got to, hopefully you win the football game, you erase it, and you go all in on next week, whoever that opponent happens to be. Oh, in this case, it's going to be Oregon. We know that.
I wonder what would be worse, somebody trying to plant their flag on the block O, or somebody ripping a goalpost out of its concrete foundation and trying to tote it up the ramp where the band comes in and out. What do you think would be a worse situation? Huh?
Tim, that's going to be, well, first of all, you know, you hope Columbus Police and Security knows that's yeah, out there on social media, right?
You hope they've seen the plan, yeah.
They're going to protect that. And I've seen, I think probably in games that I've played with, like the circle of patrolmen around the goalpost to guarantee that no one touches them, you know? Yes. And we've already seen pepper spray. Hopefully the pepper spray has been washed off of Ohio State, because they don't want to go down, get, you know, make a tackle on the block O and have some pepper spray, you know, fly up in my face.
Wafting up. Yeah.
Yeah. But you hope that's enough. You hope you're prepared for it. And I think the same way that we did in 2002 when Miami was planning a celebration party ahead of playing the game, that if this is an actual plan that's being constructed, deep down in your belly, it should hurt as a player. It should piss you off as a player, and go, and not that they don't go out and sell out every week. I'm not trying to say that they don't, but there's an extra little bit of gas on this fire to go win this football game.
Hey, did y'all ever figure out, was that a legit invitation for a party? Or do you think somebody maybe in y'all's realm,
Coach Tressel went to Office Max and pumped out a bunch of copies?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm still going to claim the fact that it was real. And I guess I'd probably, you know what, I might even text Cole right after this, because it's like, maybe he's friends with McGahee or, you know, Clinton Portis or Andre Johnson or one of those guys that were, or Ed Reed, or is hosted, because I'm not friends with them. I bet you he is.
Yeah.
Text them and actually see if it was legit or not.
There you go.
That's for the next show. I'll validate that next show.
Absolutely. And number two, ladies and gentlemen, we know the plans are real about taking the goalposts and planting them in the Olentangy. It's the closest they can get to the Tennessee River, which is what they did with a big win, you know, last year. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Wilhelm. This is Tim May. This is the Tim May Show. We're going to be – I got a feeling we're going to be back Christmas week. We're going to be back Christmas week and talking about how Ohio State's going to be getting ready for its revenge game against Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Are you kidding me? What a setting. But that would be definitely putting one foot before the other. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, for Matt Wilhelm, this is Tim May. We will see you then.